Hello and welcome to Glitchy Switch, the podcast all about what it feels like discovering you have ADHD as an adult. My name is Martin and I believe that no one deserves to live in shame in a world not designed for them. So in each episode, I'll pick off the kind of questions that go through your mind on the journey from curiosity to diagnosis. Whether you're on your own journey or supporting someone who is, I hope my own experiences might just help you. I know what it's like to have a busy life and a busy mind, so each episode lasts about as long as a cup of coffee, so you can easily fit it in and enjoy without draining too much energy. Welcome back. First of all, I'm just so humbled by your reactions. I've enjoyed our chats. I'm so glad you have too. The messages and comments have all been brilliant. Just so happy. Thank you very much. Last time we talked about how it felt as the recognition that I was an ADHD person started to sink in. I dropped in a couple of spoilers and apologies. They were slightly more spoilerish than intended, but I got a bit carried away about the reactions of other people. And a lot of those reactions come from my being open on social media of various different kinds. This time I thought I'll just dig into that in a little bit more depth and just add a little bit of colour to it. So I think there's what I would call a couple of different types of reaction that you get through social media. So the first is what I would call primary impact. So what you see straight away. I mean, social media, like it or loathe it, is kind of how most messages, whether they're personal or corporate or societal or whatever else it is, gets out these days. When you put something like I did on LinkedIn, I put a link to a Medium post saying, I have ADHD, you're going to get a major reaction in the comments. Of course you do. I mean, it's why people do LinkedIn. I mean, let's all be honest, right? It's lovely and it's affirmative. And people said lots of the right things, which I absolutely needed at the time to feel a sense of vindication. Don't get me wrong. Some of the words were about me personally. Some of them were about my being open about it, which again, that was really, really helpful. And as you recall, I'd been forthright in thinking I was going to be open about this kind of stuff. But it's always nice for people to actually go, yeah, that's exactly what needed doing. But the thing I took away from it in the end is having built all this stuff up in your mind and you get this load of reactions, you realize how fleeting it is. Social media reactions are a little bit like a sugar rush. It feels really good in the moment, but you return pretty quickly back to the same state that you were in before, or possibly feeling a little bit sordid for having got caught up in it. You soon realise that actually other people have got many, many other things going on in their lives, and actually the support is great, but you know, they're soon going to scroll on and get on with their lives and various other things. The most interesting reactions by far are kind of what I would call the secondary reactions. So they're not the immediate comments and likes and various other things, but they're the sort of the ripples in the pond, to use a metaphor if you like. I hadn't realised how many people were actually thinking about this stuff, and when they'd seen my post, it had started the cogs in their mind sort of whirring, and it did take a little bit of time for those reactions to kind of come out. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that. So the first one is from a friend of mine, a really dear friend of mine, got in touch. I've known them for over 30 years doing the mental arithmetic. We'd not seen each other in a little while, but it's one of those friendships where we'll always be close. We had such a good bond when we were younger that it will always be there and we'll always be there for each other. When we get together, we more or less always carry on where we left off, really. Our relationship hasn't kind of changed in sort of how we talk to each other, even though, you know, we've both gone off and got married and various other things. We more or less talk how we've always talked. Not a lot's changed. The contact was kind of out of the blue, so I hoped everything was okay. They sounded quite serious when they got in touch. Anyway, we agreed to meet for lunch. And we sort of chatted around a little bit, you know, a bit of small talk, waiting for the food to arrive, waiting for the drinks to arrive. The food and drink arrives, and then they bring it up. Oh, I read your blog post about your diagnosis, and I thought I would get in touch because I just didn't recognise the person that was writing the blog that I knew all those years ago. I mean, I knew that your brain kept going over and over and over and just wouldn't stop, but that was kind of about it. I mean, could you tell me a little bit more about it? And so I said, yeah. And I basically went into the story that you and I have chatted about the last couple of times or so that we've got together. And I also explained some of the traits and signposted a few specific things and sort of tied them back to the experiences that we'd shared together. Now, that wasn't really the interesting part. The interesting part was our relationship changed at that point. They went on to explain that they'd had their own mental health struggles for a few years. They also talked about some things from their own past with an openness that, despite our friendship, I'd never heard them use before. They'd certainly never been this vulnerable with me before. They were older, so I always sort of looked up to them as a bit of a role model, I guess, and I suspect they felt that they had to perform that strong role in all our conversations from there on. But on a friendship of 3 decades, one of the closest actually got closer, and it was incredible. Along those lines, I was actually then talking to a neurodiverse colleague not long afterwards. The first time we met, we weren't familiar with each other and we were just getting to know each other. And they said they were a neurodiverse person, not ADHD, something different. But they then proceeded to talk in some depth about the impact of neurodiversity on them and some of their traits, one of which was that they didn't trust easily. And I thought, wow, I'm really glad you're sharing. But I thought to myself, well, it doesn't feel like you don't trust people. And I sort of said, well, you said to me that you don't trust easily. I'm surprised you're being this open with me. Oh, well, I looked you up and I read your blog and I figured if you're prepared to be that open with people, I can trust you. Wow. Okay. So we're not in the realm of old friends just hearing something new. We're actually into the realms of meeting a new colleague at work and then changing their approach from the get-go based on my being outwardly open about my ADHD. Now, as a colleague and a people leader, so managing people at work, I've always been really, really open because I think actually openness begets openness. And I'd like to think that's one of the things that's caused me to have sort of good relationships and things like that at work. But again, in this particular case, I'd made a conscious choice and it had changed a new work relationship forever. And that was new. I talked a little bit last time, probably too much, as I say, about how others had got in touch responding to my videos. I had other ADHD people following up. Some are really open about it and talked openly in front of other people about it. Other people pulled me to one side for a private chat, and I sensed from a few that they'd been really kind of wrestling with themselves. The best time was at a works event when, at an evening thing, a colleague who I've known for well over a decade sidled up to me and whispered in my ear, "We share a superpower, you know." And just as I turn round, all sort of smiles to go, "Oh, you know, how fantastic." They just kind of looked at me as if to say, "Don't say anything out loud." They had been diagnosed, but they weren't sure whether they should tell anyone or not. Unlike me, they'd not necessarily seen it as being a wholly positive thing. And it kind of made me feel even more anxious, if you like, in the sense that perhaps my own, you know, diagnosis as an ADHD person had made me so full of my own delight and joy in wanting to share with the world. It had not passed me by, but maybe it wasn't as high on my thought process that other people might not be quite so open about it. And I said to myself there and then, actually, what you need to do from here is just make sure that before you go sort of clomping around enthusiastically, which is possibly an ADHD thing, but we can talk about that another time, let's just see where other people are before we get involved. And now if somebody says to me, "Oh, you should go and chat with so-and-so, they're actually an ADHD person," or whatever, I always check first how open they are about it. If there's any doubt, I will leave it. But I have to say, I do steal that superpower line. That was really, really good. And that person knows who they are, and I can't thank you enough for it. Anyway, every time somebody does talk to me about it, my life feels a bit richer for it. And it's like there's a bond, like we're in some kind of special club. I don't know, like we've got invisibility cloaks or something like that, that only we know about. And it's a lovely feeling. They say, actually, neurodiverse people sort of flock together. And I think that's so true. A few old friends who'd been diagnosed actually told me after they'd heard about my diagnosis. And in every case, they were people who, for reasons I could never quite explain why, I'd always felt a particular connection to, but couldn't quite work it out. One of them was the person I told you about before, who sent me a poem that I told you about. I saw them the other week, and they still haven't shown that poem to anyone else, which made me feel, well, really quite humbled all over again. But you can also spot it in other people quite quickly, I discovered as well. There's like an energy that you can kind of see. And I think other people can kind of see it on you as well. I've had a few people kind of break cover and ask, completely unprompted as well, which is quite unusual for me. It's like, I don't know, it's like two cogs that just mesh together a little bit more easily than maybe some others do. The other thing I noticed was that people started to come to me with their kind of mental health worries and life worries in general, looking for sort of counsel and advice, particularly on things like stress and anxiety, a little bit about neurodiversity, people curious. There were things that they'd seen and heard me talking about with ADHD. I don't know, it just seemed that people felt, again, because I'd been open and made myself vulnerable, that they were happy to just come and talk to me in the roundabout things. And I'm no doctor, just to be absolutely clear, and as you can see from the disclaimer on the episodes, but I found that incredibly humbling. I love to help people, and that feeling of reward, and as we'll find out when we chat together, the sense of reward is something that ADHD people chase, spoiler alert again, but that sense of reward meant that as well as my digesting being an ADHD person as part of my new identity, I actually felt sure that being an ally and champion for the neurodiverse would now be a part of it too. I'll just finish up by saying I did also learn about what not to say to an ADHD person as well. I think some people don't really know how to react when you tell them. So, and this may be a British thing actually, I think they feel obliged to just sort of fill the space. But they don't always say the right things. So I'm not going to do what I did last time, which is say, oh, I'm giving you a spoiler and then tell you everything. But if you really want to know what to say to annoy an ADHD person, join me next time and find out. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. You can get in touch via glitchyswitchpodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts and suggestions of things you'd like to hear about. You can also follow me on @glitchyswitchpodcast on Instagram for more on ADHD life and to find out what's coming next.